Is God good? I believe it's 2 Samuel. Could be 1 Samuel. David formed an army. And the army, if I remember correctly, was about 600 men. And they were going to go out to fight the enemy. And it turns out that 200 of the army was going to stay back, and 400 of them was going to go out and see if they could defeat the enemy. And it turns out that they defeated the enemy, and they brought back all the spoils. And when they brought back all the spoils, there was a part of the 400 that said, "We're not going to share in the spoils." Those 200 that didn't go with us, they just stayed by stuff. "We're not going to share." And David said, "In my terms, you're absolutely wrong. You're absolutely wrong." Okay? That those people that stayed by the stuff will share in every bit of the reward as equal as you were. So when we get to heaven, your reward will be identical to everything. In the New Testament, it's, "Can the foot say to the hand, 'I have absolutely no need of you'? Or can the eye say to the ear, 'I have absolutely no need for you'?" And in reverse, the eye could say, "I have no need of you." As long as Alan was and John was gone, you prayed for them every day, every other day. Every time you went into intercession, you will receive the same identical reward. Okay. Same identical reward. And every one of you is identically the same because you were part of the army. I can remember when the Lord began to open up Brazil. I'm really not that old. And don't call me old. But when I was invited to go to Brazil with a gentleman that I had met in another ministry, and he invited me, and I said, "I would sure love to bring Dave Roberson, okay, to Brazil." And he said, "Well, why don't you come down, meet with a group of people, and we'll see." And so we went down and met with there could have been 12, there could have been 10. And they said, "Based on what you've said and based on the gentleman that had been there for some, gave his whole life to Brazil, we'll accept Dave." So bring him on down. On the plane flying back, I knew that my heart had already been broken, because another ministry that the Lord allowed Leah and I to be involved with had touched all of Brazil with the gospel on television, and every major city had crusades of 100,000, 200,000 in Pacaembu Stadium, all televised, all showed worldwide. And when that part of the ministry crumbled, I went through a series of withdrawals, and my heart was, I'm going to say broken, but we know our hearts don't break, so somehow it hurt so bad. I come back, and I wasn't sure that I was even going to tell Dave what happened, because I wanted to be sure that we weren't, as much as we could tell, we weren't in the flesh or we weren't in the soul or we weren't wanting to get attention. We were really called. So I came back and met with Dave and said, Dave, Brazil is opening up, but I'm going to tell you right now that I'm not going to be a part of going if you don't go and stay forever, because I can't have it happen to me again. Now I know I could have. But where I was in the hurting, I had not received a healing yet, and it was not my spirit speaking, it was my soul that had not been renewed, and I was still hurting. And I said, so if you go pray about it and you feel as though the Lord's given you direction to go, then we'll set it up. Now, once again, I'm just a tiny part of this family. This is not a bragging thing. This is just how important each one of you are. Beyond anything that each one of us can imagine, how important we are to the Lord. So Dave went and prayed. I believe he may have fasted, but I'm not positive. But I flew out and went to another place to do some of what the Lord's called us to do. And I came back and was anxious to meet with him. And in those days, it wasn't coffee. We were drinking Coke, I guess. But anyway, he didn't say anything to me when I come back. Nothing. And I thought, well, I just wasted a trip, and now's not the time. So a couple days later, I asked him, I said, has the Lord told you anything about Brazil? He said, oh, I'm sorry I didn't tell you. I'm really sorry. He said, the Lord not only told me that Brazil was one of the nations that he's given me, he also has told me Japan. Now, Dave had no idea that my heart had been broken twice and that Japan was another nation that we removed all influence of the gospel out of with what we were involved with. We went off television. We stopped translating the message. We actually lip-synced the message so that the voice, you thought he knew Portuguese or you thought he knew Japanese. Okay. And that so confirmed that what we were doing and where we were headed was in the right direction. None of us knew that this was a generational call. And now Alan's going and establishing the seven keys. It is a generational, you know, my lifetime. We say, okay, if I accomplish this in my lifetime, I'll be fulfilled or feel good or whatever. But the Lord had in mind generational. And every one of you are a part of it. If I'm bragging about anything, I'm bragging about you, that you had stayed by the stuff, you had prayed for their trip. You know, Gary, this right now is in Canada, okay? And as you pray and as you intercede, you're all part of that reward. I don't know why you all become so quiet when I'm talking. I'll tell you something that recently happened. Very recently, the Lord gave me a vision. And then hopefully we'll get into the message. I had a vision. I have very few visions. I'm actually a little envious and jealous, whatever the proper words are for those two things, when I have friends that have visions all the time and dreams all the time, and I'm wondering what's wrong with me. But anyway, this vision was the Lord had planted a tree, and the tree had grown, and the tree had fruit on it, ready to pick. It was not my job to plant the tree. It was not my job to water the tree. It was not my job to prune the branches off. All of that was done for me, and the fruit on the tree, how do you explain what you've seen, that it was the best looking fruit you've ever seen? And it began to rot. It began to rot, hanging on the tree. And the Lord spoke to me and said that my wife Leah had planted the tree, had watered the tree, had produced the fruit on the tree. And if I didn't fulfill my call, the fruit on the tree was going to rot. So he took a lot of the slack, or the lot of getting used to it, out of my life that morning. And I realized that I was someone that was supposed to pick the fruit and take it to market, but that her responsibility as part of the family, part of the body, was to do that. Most of our married life, it's always been Tim, Tim, Tim gets all the recognition, flew first class, blah, blah, blah. And we tend to forget how important each one of us are. When I look out here, the reason I'm walking is I can't stop. I don't want to stop and look at each one of you individually, because the gifting that's in this family is beyond imagine, beyond anything that we can comprehend, that you are going to be a part of a move, of a walk, and every single one of you, without exception. Somebody brought a little boy up here at the end of the last service for me to pray for, because his legs had, I think it was hives or something. When I looked into that little boy's eyes, I realized that his born-again spirit carried as much authority as what he thought I carried because of how old I was. And he didn't realize that he has deposited in his born-again spirit the same level of authority to receive his healing. And it's our responsibility to train up, if you want to call it shepherd, or if you want to call it helpers of their joy, it's our responsibility to do just that. Did we not receive a word at some point in time recently? Gary has mentioned it more than once, that this revival or this season, that the Lord was going to give birth to children that have a full set of teeth. So when the enemy bombards you and says all that he is currently saying, all of the destruction of reasoning that he's trying to bring to destroy us, it's time to tell him, we don't allow the word shut up in my home, but it is time to tell the enemy to shut up in your personal life and become and walk into everything that the Lord's called each one of us individually to do. All right? Amen? Amen. Do you all have a handout? Is there anybody that does not have the handout? Okay. If you don't have one, raise your hand a little higher so we'll make sure. And if we run out, we'll take one back if you have two to the family so everybody has one. What's nice about the handouts, as far as I'm personally concerned, is I'm able to pass on the responsibility to you. Of course, the responsibility was already there. It's fun for me to be able to say, oh, okay, now you're accountable or now you're responsible as to how the Holy Spirit teaches you or deals with you. In the first service, we didn't get very far as I'm concerned, but we'll see how far we get. If you'd like to write down some scriptures, I would write down John 5:19, and I would write down John 5:30. I'll read them. You most likely know them by heart. John 5:19 says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these are also done, also doeth the Son likewise." And the next one was 5:30, "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father that has sent me." We briefly, and I mean briefly, went through the seven keys of fellowship that's on the front page of your handout. Let me get to your handout. We quickly said, and you're welcome to get the tape. Oh, the Lord's reminding me of one thing. If you are on the internet or if you have a computer, my suggestion is that you go out to Dave Robertson's website and that you sign up at no cost to get his monthly teaching letter and also every word that comes forth to the family of the prayer center. And naturally, all the messages is out there. But the season that we're going into, you will really need to have readily available everything that the Lord is saying to this family. The season changed 2 years ago, as I said in the first service. It changed at the beginning of last year when he gave us the word about great warfare and division and good intentions. To me, those were foundational messages. It's sort of like, if you don't understand that one, you won't understand what's going on. That's not a critical statement. It's sort of the Lord saying to his disciples, if you don't understand the parable of this of the sower sowing the seed, how can you understand anything else? So all of the attacks that you're going through in your daily life, it's all based on what the Lord has already said to us from the mind of Christ through the Holy Spirit, using a gift to say, "Thus saith the Lord." We talked about the seven. If there's eight, I'm anxious to get the eighth one. But I'll just read some of the statements so that it's on the tape. Each one of the seven keys, each one of them, will cause you to walk in humility. Each one of them puts your flesh to death. Each one of them puts your flesh on the cross on a daily basis. Each one of them places your born-again spirit in the proper place in your life. As it's been said, you know, the strange thing was in a vision, or that the psalmist said, "I see a strange thing. I see servants riding a horse and princes walking on the ground." doing these fundamental keys for fellowship, your soul will be the one that is always walking on the ground, and the prince of your life, who you really are, the born-again spirit, it'll rule your life. And all of these brings the Lord great pleasure. I ask this morning, I'll ask again, your relationship with the Lord. I don't know if you've ever said, Lord, how do I bring you pleasure? How do I bring you pleasure? He would go to these seven things and more as to how you bring him pleasure. They are the cornerstones for our walk. So let's go to, I believe the first one you have is September 6th, 2006. This was another cornerstone, or this was another foundational truth. There's many of them, many of them. And I'll read it and have comments. And you're welcome to keep all the notes that you want. In 2006, September, he said, "Once again, the time has come for those who will esteem my word more than they do their necessary food." I believe each one of you are one of those people. And if you feel as though you're not, ask the Lord to forgive you, and you automatically are. I mean, he holds no record. According to my record in heaven, I've never failed God because of the blood. Period. So you qualify for this. "They will no longer take my words lightly, as entertainment, almost as something of small value." The principle behind that statement is meditation and confession, one of the keys. We won't hear it. We won't be the ground that's wayside ground. We won't be the ground that embraces it for a moment, and then because of cares, it leaves. We'll embrace it our entire life. "They will no longer take my words lightly as entertainment, almost as something of small value. For I have not had you here all this time to separate myself from you now. With my own arm, I gathered you for myself." That's co-laboring, one of the seven keys. You've heard me say this before. Out of the 7 billion people on the face of the earth, why did he allow you to be here? Out of 7 billion people, why are you allowed to be here and hear the message? I'm not saying we're the only church, don't get me wrong. But you're here by design appointment. You're not an accident that just happened. He said, not the person that gave this. God said, "With my own arms, I've gathered you unto myself. I'm the one that brought you here. I'm the one. No one else. And I am kindling an appetite in you. An appetite not only for my written word, but for the words that I speak to you." We're going to be addressing most of the words that he has spoken to us. Let me talk about that a little bit. You've heard me use the word blueprint in the past. You will probably continually hear me use the word blueprint forever, as long as I'm here. All the blueprint is God's plan for your life that he has shared with you. A blueprint is exactly what heaven sees you like. Certainly not what the devil wants to tell you you are. It is everything that heaven says you already are. As we walk into revival and possess the promised land, you're going to need to know more than ever before who you are, who you personally are. As long as we were in the wilderness, as long as we were, however long we were in there, each person is different. You know, it's a time of hiddenness. You know, the six out of the seven things, all you do is by yourself. I very seldom ever pray in tongues, okay, out loud when anybody else is around. Incidentally, your spirit, you realize your spirit never sleeps. You realize your spirit does not need rest. That means 24/7. Your spirit is wide awake and wanting to commune with your soul about everything that your spirit has and wants to share with you. That's why you can have dreams. The enemy comes to give the false ones. I mean, where did that dream come from? It came through your spirit into your soul. And the difficulty with the interpretation of the dreams is because our soul hasn't caught up with our spirit. But if you wait on him, one of the seven keys, he didn't give you a dream to tease you or to make fun of you that you're stupid and you don't have the interpretation. He loves you more than that. I may tease you and not give you the answer, or Dave may tease us, or whoever. But the Holy Spirit is on a quest for you to fulfill everything that he has called you to be. And so he's saying, okay, they finally quieted down, and their soul is not real active at this moment. So I'm going to slip a dream in. And hopefully when they wake up in the morning, and sometimes you have the interpretation immediately. I understand that. But other times, if you lay there and say, I'm not going to get out of bed till I get the interpretation, there's no need for you to go find somebody that can interpret dreams. I shouldn't say there's no need. There sometimes is a need for a confirmation. But he gave you that dream for you. I mean, he wants to have that level of fellowship with you. And so he gave you the dream. Okay. I am rekindling an appetite in you. An appetite not only for my written word, but for the words I speak to you. That they become your very life. More precious than gold, more needful than your necessary food. That's fasting. I know that many of you, and maybe all of you, have went into a season of fasting because you want to quiet down the flesh to the point. We know the principles. I mean, Dave has so eloquently or so completely shared the benefits of fasting. But if you have a dream that you don't have an interpretation and you become that serious, say, Lord, I'm going to fast today. I'm going to quiet my soul any way I can till I get that interpretation, whether it's a word or whether it's just a knowing insight. I don't really understand what you're saying. That's the value of the words that come forth from the prayer center, or come forth from the Lord. Okay? Wisdom's word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Eat my word until it becomes a part of you. Bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, where it brings life to you like the marrow does the blood. He puts things like that, the marrow does to the blood, so that if you don't understand at all what the marrow is and what it does to the blood, then he's given you a brain that you go study to show yourself approved to find out what it means. And you will quickly find out in this case that you have no life, where all the cells are developed, etc., etc., if you don't have marrow. I mean, and he's saying, eat it, my word. That's, once again, meditation and confession. Then he puts the entire responsibility of your life, your individual life, on you. Not on Dave's gifting. Not on prayer lines. All of those are acceptable, but you are his son. You are his daughter. And he wants that level of fellowship with you. The buck stops here. With the measure that you give my word, that is exactly the same measure that you will see the results of the word, says the Lord. That took place in 2006. Recently, on October the 8th, the Lord gave this. Apply my word to each and every circumstance. My word contains life and the power to break the power of the enemy and to renew your carnal mind to be in full and in complete agreement with your spirit. The word and the words that he gives you personally is the only thing that has the power to do that. Hebrews 4:12, if you want to write down that reference. I will read it once again out of the Amplified. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, which is your soul, and the immortal, which is your spirit, and of joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of your nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purpose of your heart. Another verse would be casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, but bringing into captivity every thought to his obedience. To bring every thought into his obedience, the thoughts that you have and need is the word. We all know this. Then he says, when you have trained and disciplined your mind to let my spirit reign and rule as you become obedient to daily heed the instructions I give, then I can accomplish my will through you. Until you train and discipline your mind, he is unable to accomplish his will through you. His mind, or your mind, to me is your heart. It's your heart. And your, he always is looking at your heart. I should have heard someone say, thank the Lord that all he's looking at is my heart. That's where he dwells. That's where he lives. That's all he's looking at. If you want to write down 2 Timothy 2:15, it's Paul writing to Timothy, and I'm going to read once again from the Amplified. Study and be eager to do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, tested and by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. With great excitement and anticipation, I can see the day coming quickly, approaching, when I can pour out all that I am through my body. That's Jesus talking. That's what you bring him. You. That's what you bring him. With great excitement and anticipation, I can see the day quickly approaching when I can pour out all that I am through my body. Romans 15:13. Well, let me say it another way. You can write down Romans 15:13. That portion of the word is the God of hope speaking into our lives. He's saying, I see the end from the beginning, and I am anticipating, I am excited about what is coming, because I see where you are going to be, that I can begin to pour out into my body what I've longed to do forever, all eternity past and all eternity future. I'm excited. I'm excited. Have any of you heard the devil tell you that he's excited about the future? The destruction of reasoning that has been brought against the prayer center. And just not the, when I say the prayer center, I say the I believe it's the revelation knowledge of the prayer center worldwide. But the destruction of reasoning that he is bringing to tell you that you're absolutely no good, that you're a failure, it seems like the volume of his trying to delay us, stop us, destroy us, has increased. I have no idea how much. But the people that I've been able to talk with that are in full-time ministry, and you would think they're ahead of you, you know, by man's position or his call, the number that said, I feel as though I should quit. I feel as though that I'm a failure. I feel as though I'm too old. I feel. Now these are people like you that are seasoned. It's just that I haven't had lunch with you. Because he isn't picking on just one person. He has to destroy the unity within the family or within the body of Christ. We talk about the slanted floor. The conference people that came several weeks ago, they had to leave saying, is it ever going to change? Now I almost fall down when I walk back that way. It must have dropped another couple inches, you know. And look at the carpet. They can't deny the anointing. They enjoyed the praise and worship and all that. But when? And you have words. I mean, you have what the Lord has said. That the enemy first sends what I believe he called it was the little ones. The ones that are able to bring persecutions and cares of daily living, the little ones. And then they leave, and he sends the big ones, whatever the big ones are. But they come to destroy your reasoning, They come to totally destroy your hope. Staying inside of what he has spoken to us will completely destroy him. And hopefully we will get there. Completely destroy him if you stay inside the word. I don't see anything outside of the word that is worth looking at, because there is no success. No success. And I'm probably older than most of you, almost most of you. But you're still here. He has gathered you using his strength to bring you here and to stay here. Incidentally, the people that you feel as though is no longer here, they're only on furlough. They're only on wherever the enemy tried to drive them away, and all of them wasn't driven away. But the Lord has promised us that many, many, many will come back. Okay? And at the same time he said many will come back, he cautioned each one of us. And he said, you better have the heart that I have, that when they come back, what is in your heart, you say, I'm just glad you're here. I'm just glad you're here. We have an election coming up Tuesday. I can remember when he gave us the standard of how we were to pray. And it was when one of our presidents had fallen and the whole world was making fun of his falling and, you know, social media, et cetera, et cetera. And he brought forth a word to say, I'm very displeased with my body. He's not talking about the world that doesn't know any better. Without Christ, we wouldn't know any better, but we do know better. And he commanded us. He didn't request it. If you hear a word that there's a command in, you better put it in bold letters and make it 28 point to never forget it in your heart. He said, I expect you to pray for your president like he was your own son. And I expect you to pray for his family like it was your family. His love and the mind of Christ is so, so much more. But it's in the keys and it's in the words that he's given us. Okay, let's go to the next one, October 10th. October 10th, 2014. Incidentally, you can go out on the website and you can get all of the words that have come forth, the compilation of the words each year. You can build a document that has them all in one, and you can go find this principle, this statement that the Holy Spirit chose to put in these words. You can probably find it, I'm going to say, 7 or 8 times. Certainly it's 2 or 3, but they're more than that. Life as you have known it is at the beginning of the end, and this end comes quickly as you follow me. That life that you once lived is quickly coming to an end. That life, from what we understand, is a life of selling out to him. That life is laser focused. And that life is forgiving everyone. Those three components. There's probably more than three, but for sure there are those three. Selling out to him, laser focused, and forgiving everyone. The Holy Spirit has always been laser focused. The Lord's not changing. but he's wanting us to become more laser focused. Instead of shooting a shotgun, he wants us shooting a 30-30 and hit the bullseye. Laser focus. Much of your lives are coming to an end as we've known it before. It's by his design. It is not by your design. It's by you selling out. Whatever selling out means to you. There's not a person within hearing my voice that is not already selling out. You don't have to look at somebody else and say, boy, they're really selling out. Every one of you are selling out at the rate that you will allow him. But none of you are leaving. None of you are rebellious. None of you are saying, not my way, or my way and not your way. Get out of my life. You're all selling out. Don't let the enemy tell you you're not selling out. He's a liar. He doesn't have any truth in him. He took the word out of context when he talked to Jesus after Jesus fasting. He knew the word. He just totally took it out of context. He will use the word against you. Completely out of balance, completely in error. If there's anybody that has the ability to take spiritual out of the context, it's the enemy. And that's what he's trying to use against you, because he can't use anything else because you're smarter than everything else. He's just trying to use the word to destroy you. And so he'll take it out of context. The third one, forgiving everyone. I know you don't have it on your sheet, and I don't know if you remember it, but I'll read it. This is where we are, and with this, I'll close for you to think about. This word, the Lord is saying to us, to the entire body of Christ that is walking, pressing in, selling out. This word is saying the same thing that happened when Ananias and Sapphira came and lied against the Holy Spirit, and they both were dead. It's the same principle. It's the same level of anointing that was present. That wasn't Peter. I mean, Peter was probably more surprised than any of them that the Lord was able to use his voice to say what he said. This particular word that came forth in the middle. Has the Lord ever interrupted your thinking and speaking and has said, it's more important what I have to say or what I want you to think about than what you're thinking about or what you're saying? Even though what you were saying I like and it's my truth, but I've got something more important to say right now. This is how this word came forth. It was in the middle of a calling in the lost service that Gary was having. It was during the confessions when we were confessing, you know, 1,000 being born again each week from the family of the prayer center, that we have 500 intercessors. 500 intercessors that are more interested in praying or using the gifting that I've placed in their life than what's going on down the street. You know the confessions. They've become life to us, like all his other words. This one came forth. This is a warning. If you look at all of the words in 2014 or as far back as you want to look, the Lord has only used the word warning a handful of times. Just like the word great, when he said at the beginning of this year, there will be great warfare, there will be great division, good intentions. He's used that very seldom. It wasn't a choice of the mouth that he was using to say it. He gave them that word. Use this word. This one is this. This is a warning. If you're going to walk in the power of revival, how many of you want to walk there? Everybody. None of you are wanting to leave it. Every one of you are wanting to enjoy it. This is a warning. If we are going to walk in the power of revival, I am telling you, people are going to die. I am telling you, you cannot walk in unforgiveness and walk in the level of powers. That power cuts both ways. So if you cannot forgive them, skedaddle. When you read, side note, when you read the prophecies that have come forth, look for key words that you know we don't use, that is not our normal 1,200 words that we know. You wouldn't say it that way, and almost always he has a word in there that surprises you, like, why would he use skedaddle? Why would he use namby-pamby? Why would he use that? Other than waking up your mind to draw your attention that he knows what he's saying. In this case, it was, if you cannot forgive them, skedaddle. Leave here. You heard me. I'm trying to save your life. That was not Gary Carpenter trying to save your life. That was God Almighty saying, the level of holiness and the level of unforgiveness and the level of forgiveness that you must walk in is this level, because it is going to cut both ways. You hear me? I'm trying to save your life. It's serious. If you are not serious about this and about the love of God, and then the Holy Spirit asks us questions. What? You don't need to have forgiveness? You think you're above not ever needing forgiveness and you can become a judge in essence? What? You're the judge now? All of a sudden, you're the judge? It's okay for you to judge? No, it's not. The only reason you're going to heaven is the blood of Jesus. Get over yourself. Let's go to the next one, because it only keeps getting better and better. Where we go, I have given you glimpses of. But to glimpses and to live it are entirely different things. The glimpses are part of your preparation. And these glimpses are changing into reality in your thinking. They're only changing into reality if you are having fellowship. It is hope. The glimpses are hope. And hope. If you can't see it, hope can't bring it. We've already shared that. Within your blueprint, he has given you glimpses. Within your blueprint, within the words that he has given you personally, whether it was a personal word or whether as you're reading and meditating the book of John or whatever book you're on, there's things that just jump out at you that are rhema words that you would need to write down and say, wow, that's a glimpse. That's part of me. That's what turns me on. That's what excites me. I highlight the words as I read, and I give them to Leah and say, what do you think? She doesn't highlight the same words. They were speaking to me personally. And she said, she doesn't say it this way, but why didn't you highlight this one? I don't know. Why didn't you highlight this one? It's not that we have any disagreement. It's that within her heart, The Holy Spirit is dealing with her one-on-one as the teacher, one-on-one in intimacy with her, and that's what turned her on. And it's all truth. It's the same way you live the same way. I know you live the same way. So within your blueprint is the glimpses. Within your fellowship, he has given you your glimpses. The glimpses are godly hope he has given you. And with this, I'll ask you a question. And then I am closing. Can anybody tell me, what are the glimpses that the Lord has given Dave Roberson? I won't ask for a show of hands. But he has very clearly said, one of his glimpses is he personally is going to empty hospitals. Now you and I hear he's going to empty hospitals. But in him, he is going to empty hospitals. I see the children. I see a children's hospital. I don't know what hospital he sees. I don't know if it's St. Jude's or where, what. But when I hear him say, we're going to go empty hospitals, I'm going to hold some of the children. I'm not concerned about the doctors who will yell at us and scream and we don't belong there. Or whatever they say. And that we've taken a portion of their future away. We haven't taken it away. The Lord's taken it away. But Dave lives there. He doesn't visit there. He doesn't. I mean, you have within you those glimpses that he's given you personally. And he's saying, I've given them to you. I've retained ownership of them. They're my glimpses for you. They're my present to you. I'm giving you these glimpses. But they're mine. Because they come from my mind, right? They come from how I see you in heaven. I've given you these glimpses for you to become a steward of them. And without co-laboring, all they're always going to be, forever, it's going to be glimpses. Okay? But I've given them to you for one purpose, for them to become reality. Reality. Let's stand. Thank you for being here. Father, we just thank you. Just thank you, thank you, thank you. The word thank you doesn't even begin to portray what our hearts are. Each one of us, Lord. We give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. Everything, Lord. We give it all to you. Enjoy the rest of the day.